Well, good morning. Beautiful day out there, isn't it? Interesting that sometimes there are some things that are in God's Word that to us may not seem all that important as relating to other things in God's Word. But they must be important because the Lord put them in there. I think this morning is one of those times where, oh, really? We're coming to the close of 1 Peter. And in the first four chapters, Peter speaks to the believers in Christ that were spread all throughout the Roman Empire. And he talked on Christian relationships and sufferings. And now at the end of the epistle, he directs his attention to those that are in leadership. Now, don't be misled by that word, leadership. Don't stereotype it and say, okay, that only applies to you, Ken. Because that's not the case. Open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's where we're going, chapter 5. Now, Peter is talking, and he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And then he makes a statement to them, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. We're going to stop there for a little bit. We sang about a crown this morning. And Peter's talking about a crown of glory. In Peter's day, there was no Dallas Bible Seminary. There was no place that you went and you came out after 3-4 years, whatever, and you were a pastor. It didn't happen that way. The work of the pastoral office is to be fulfilled by the private members of the church according to their respective gifts and opportunities. Ephesians 4, 7, it says, to each one of us, that means everybody here, each one of us, if you're a believer in Christ, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So Jesus gave gifts through his grace to each of you. And then 11 says, he himself gave to some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So you didn't become a leader of the flock by going to school. You became the leader of the flock because it was a gift from Jesus Christ. Now, that being said, there are lessons here for everyone, including everybody here, as well as for the minister of a church. Peter's talking to all. Now, I know you know who is given this exhortation, the Apostle Peter. But look at the spirit and the behavior of Peter. He doesn't command. He doesn't dominate. He exhorts. And exhorts means this is urgent advice that he's given. It's a recommendation is what it is. Peter also does not claim sovereignty over all of the pastors and all of the churches. He didn't stand up there and said, okay, listen to me. I am the head of Christ's church. No. He didn't exalt himself as prince of the apostles or even the head of the church. He was not the first pope. He puts himself right alongside and says, I'm just a fellow elder like you. All the apostles were elders. But all elders are not apostles. It was an honor for Peter and a few others to be eyewitnesses to Christ's sufferings, actually saw everything that happened to him. But he says it's a privilege for all true Christians to be partakers of the glory that's going to be revealed later. We have the privilege of being partakers of that glory. That crown of glory that we sang about is ours. If you're familiar with the scriptures, most of you are, especially scriptures concerning the church, you know it only mentions two permanent offices in a church. There's only two that it mentions. They're in the pastoral epistles. It mentions bishops and it mentions deacons. Timothy receives instructions as to the ordination of two classes of servants. In Timothy 3, it mentions bishops and it mentions deacons. And then Paul, when he's writing to Titus, it says something like this, and I'll leave out a couple of the words. For this cause I left you in Crete, that you should ordain elders in every city. And then he goes on later about the qualifications of a bishop. Oh, wait. Ordain elders, and he mentions all the qualifications of a bishop. Who were these elders that Peter's talking about here in chapter 5? They're the same people as bishops. The two terms are designations for the same office. And they're used interchangeable. You'll never find them together as two separate offices. So apparently, each church had its own bishop or elder, and it also had deacons. We know Stephen was a deacon. The word bishop is very often translated overseer. Elder, referring to the maturity of the person. And bishop to the responsibility of the office. The word pastor that you hear a lot today means shepherd. It's just another title for the same office. The elders were appointed to office. And then we have the verb ordain. You know what ordain means? Literally, it means to appoint by the raising of hands. A vote. Each congregation voted on qualified men to lead the church. So Peter, in this last chapter of 5, chapter 5, he instructs these presbyters in three duties. The first one, feed the flock. Boy, those words take you right all the way back to the early morning when Peter was fishing and he caught nothing and Jesus was on the shore and he says, children, you got any food? Nothing. And three times Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. What was he talking about? He was talking about pomaio, the word for feed, the Greek word. It means to shepherd. It means to care for. Take care of them. I have never taken care of sheep. You folks have taken care of goats very close. And you know, and you can tell us how much work and how many tasks you have to perform taking care of a flock. They had to protect the flock from thieves and wild beasts out there on the hillsides. The pastor must protect God's people from anyone that wants to come in and spoil the flock. Is that right? I am. Sometimes the sheep don't like it when the shepherd rebukes them or warns them. He takes that rod or staff and he pokes them. Get out of there. Don't go in that thick of brush. But his ministry is for their good. Now, a faithful shepherd don't only protects his flocks. He also leads them. He leads them from pasture to pasture so that they would be adequately fed. And the shepherd always went before the flock. He searched out the area to make sure it was safe. How important is it for the pastors to lead their people into the green pastures of God's Word so that they would feed and grow in a richly fashion? Is it easy to shepherd goats? No, thank you. It's not easy to be a faithful shepherd of God's sheep. It's a task that never ends. It demands the supernatural power of God. And what makes it even more challenging is that the flock doesn't belong to the shepherd. It belongs to God. It had been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The shepherd of the flock is called to give up everything, to tend to something that's not his. And all pastors, all ministers have to be very careful how they minister to God's sheep. Because one day, they will have to give an account of their ministry, Look at James 3:1. My brethren, he says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. But also the sheep will one day give an account of how they will obeyed their spiritual leaders. So we have the word bishop here. And bishop means overseer. One who looks over for the purpose of leading. Now, if you notice here, the shepherd is among and over the sheep. And because he's one of the sheep, he's among the members of the flock. But because he's called to be the leader, the pastor is over the flock. He has to be among his people. He has to be among the sheep so he can get to know them. Scripture says a good shepherd knows his sheep's names. And they know his name. They know his voice. He has to know them, and he has to know their needs, and he has to know some of the problems they're having, so he can lead them and help them. One thing a pastor is not, is he is not a religious lecturer who every week just brings along and passes on some Bible information. He's a shepherd who knows the people, and then he seeks to help them through God's word. Now, Peter says, being a spiritual leader of a flock has its dangers. And he points out some of the sins that the elders have to avoid. The first one is that the ministry must not be a job that he is forced to perform. The wording says, not by compulsion, but willingly, verse 2. So he should do God's will from the heart. And when a man has the pastor's heart, he loves the sheep. And he serves them because he wants to, not because he has to. And then Peter says, oh, watch out for covetousness. He says, not for filthy lore, but of a ready mind. Don't take that scripture wrong now. It's proper for the church to pay a pastor, and many pastors get paid. You can read 1 Corinthians 9, I think, and Timothy, 1 Timothy, and but Peter's saying the making of money must not be the main motive for ministry. I want to go into the ministry because I hear they make 200 grand a year. And they only work one day a week. No. Well, that's not true. First, they don't work one day a week. And I don't know how many make 200 grand. He says, don't be in it for the money. In Titus, Paul tells us he must not be a lover of money, nor devote himself to pursuing wealth. So let's look at the phrase ready mind. What does that mean? Ready mind. Wow. It means to have an eager mind, a willingness to serve because of a readiness and the eagerness that comes up out of the heart. And that's the difference between a true shepherd and a hireling. Ooh. The hireling works because he's paid to work. And when trouble starts coming, and the wolves and the lions and the bears, and they're bigger than the hireling runs away. says, I don't need this. I'm not getting paid enough. But the shepherd, David, takes his sling and slays the lion and the bear because he loves the sheep. He works hard because he loves the sheep, and his heart is devoted to them. Interesting reading if you want to read about the shepherd's heart. Read Acts chapter 20, around verse 17, all the way through 38. But the third thing that Peter says to the presbyters, shepherds should be examples to the flock. You know, you can't drive sheep like cattle. They won't move. You have to go before them. You have to lead them. You have to say, hey, follow me, little lambie. People are willing to follow a leader who practices what he preaches. And he gives them a good example to imitate. What did Paul tell the Corinthians when he was preaching to them? He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So, since this is the epistle of hope, it's pretty proper for Peter to bring up the promise of the Lord's return. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will, this is verse 4, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Our Lord's return is an encouragement in the suffering that we will go through. It's a motivation to be faithful in his service. If a pastor ministers to please himself or to please the congregation, as many pastors do, he's going to have a pretty disappointing ministry. No fulfillment. He should try only to please the Lord and then let him take care of all the rest of that stuff. Jesus is the good shepherd who died for the sheep. John 10:11. He's the great shepherd who lives forever for the sheep. And he is the chief shepherd who comes for the sheep. And because he's the chief shepherd, only he can assess a person's ministry and then give them the proper reward. And it's going to come to some who appear to be first are going to end up last. Matthew 7:22, he's going to say, many, many are going to come to me in that day. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we done many wonders in your name? And he's going to look at them and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He will judge the heart and every single motive of everything we do. And today, workers, even Christian workers, labor for many kinds of different rewards. I mean, some work hard to build empires up. And others, they strive for the praise of men. Big applause after the message. And then there's some that seek promotions in their vocation. And one day, all of these things are all fed away. Gone. And the only reward that we should strive for is that one we sang, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then he will give us the crown of glory that will never fade. And you know what we do with it? We will be so happy to lay it at the feet of Jesus, our Savior. And then we can acknowledge everything that I did, everything was because of your grace and your power, Lord. So I lay it all before you. I could have done nothing without you. Local churches rise and fall with the leadership. No matter how large it is, thousands, or how small it is, five. The leaders have to be true Christians, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a loving concern for the people, and a real desire to please Jesus. We're going to have the Lord's table this morning. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Well done, good and faithful servant. Remember me when you get together and break bread together. Words of Christ, words of our Savior. He doesn't want anyone to forget about him. And so it's repeated. And every morning we get up, we should remember Christ and what he did for us. And so that when we do eat, break bread, we think about him and we thank him and we praise him. And we get together today to do that. So he took that loaf of bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, whenever you do this, remember me. Because this is the body that's going to be broken for you. And because there was no remission of sins without the shedding of blood, before Christ came, that's why the lamb was killed and the blood was spread. And then Jesus came and he says, I'm the lamb. My blood will be shed for you so that all sins will be forgiven. And this is the cup of my blood that's shed for the world. And he basically said, don't forget about that. And so we remember him today for that too. He died and bled so that we would rise and live. My God, my Savior. I follow you to the end. I trust you with my life. The things that I do not understand, you do. And so I believe that you are working all things together for good. It may not look it sometime, and I may be hurting, but you will not give me more than I can handle. And so this flock here today, Lord, we're in the fold and we're waiting for you, the great shepherd, to come and open the gates that we might follow you all the way to eternity and forever be in your glory. In Jesus' name.